This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. We all have a multitude of insurance needs. They handle them all. Making sure, A, you're fully insured, and B, they'll do whatever they can to save you money. With some insurances, you can go over state lines. Sometimes it's bundles. But they handle it all at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We have Jody Mack today, right?
Yep, he's with us.
Yep, all right. Here we go. Get the great man on right now. My friend, I need words of wisdom, so I turn to you. Welcome.
Steve Jones, how you been, bud?
Doing great.
Great.
So, look, you have to deal with, in your career, you bring an interesting perspective from both sides, because you saw the management side with your dad, you see the other side working in the media. Analytics has become interesting in every sport. And you watch Nick Sirianni and what he's tried to do with analytics during in coaching decisions. What is your viewpoint of analytics?
I'm okay with analytics. It's one of those topics, Steve, that people, and we have this a lot in America in general and sports in specific, where it's almost like sides have been drawn. That either you have to be an analytics worshiper and a geek and believe numbers can describe and prescribe absolutely everything, or I'm old school, numbers are full, I can see, I understand, my eyes tell me. There's a happy medium in there, and I wish we could reach it. All information is good information, so analytics can always be good. If you're a slave to it and you don't have any feel in decisions you make, then you're not doing justice to the sport. And on the flip side, if you believe you're smarter than anybody else and you're just throwing numbers out, that's foolish too. So it all comes down to a balance for me. If you understand that there is information to be had and a benefit to it, as long as you don't just live, sleep, and eat and breathe by it, I think analytics can be very helpful.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that answer. It's well said, because I'm a believer. Give me as much information as possible, and then in the end, I'll make the decision. Right?
Yep.
And I'm going to make the decision based on time, scores, situation. Right? But please give me all the info, which will help me make decisions. Fair enough?
Yep. We see it exactly the same way.
Yep. Okay, so the Eagles put together, after a fourth-quarter drive by Atlanta that was mystifying, they then put together that defensive performance against New Orleans. What did you see, if anything, that was different in how Vic Fangio played it the other day?
Well, I think the one thing that he absolutely decided he needed to do, and maybe because it was the opponent they were playing, he went back to more five-man fronts.
Yes.
Atlanta didn't use as many New Orleans didn't use as many four wide receiver sets, so he could do that and he could employ that. The Eagles are a much better five front man team, and two linebackers and four in the defensive backfield. They did not tackle well at all when they had only four defensive linemen up front. Their secondary wasn't tackling well in the first two games. Numbers down, five-man front, absolutely helped. They got some pressure, still not enough pressure for my money, at least on the edges. The defensive tackles, and there was a group of them. Everyone talks about the two big Georgia guys, and they were both very good on Sunday. Bill Williams and Booker and the guys that they played inside played really well the other day. Mm-hmm. The pressure from the outside still, for me, is lacking a little bit. But They did tackle well, which was something they had not done the first couple of games. So I give him credit for adjusting, Fangio, that is, for using more bigs up front. But the Saints kind of played into his hand. And with averaging 45 points in the first 2 weeks,
yeah.
I guess they were cocky enough to believe they could play with whatever lineup they wanted.
Okay, now here's the next part. The next part goes with the offense. And I know Brown's been out. I understand that. But if they generate even one more scoring drive, touchdown, the Atlanta thing doesn't happen. This time it took a while. They finally got to 15 points in the game. How are you viewing the offense right now?
Strapped, because when you take A.J. Brown out of the mix, that's a huge loss. Now you add Devontae Smith, and he may very well play on Sunday. We got to see if he gets out of concussion protocol. They also lost Covey, who I don't see as a big loss, but they were using him a lot, and they're throwing him the ball a lot for short gains, but at least he was catching it. You take three wide receivers off that team, all of a sudden, Paris Campbell... I sung the praises of Howie Roseman for the Jahan Dotson acquisition, but let's be honest, he's done diddly in the first three games.
Right.
I don't know who the hell. And Goddard stepped up huge for them. Now, Tampa's pretty good defense, and their head coach is a dynamite defensive coordinator. I don't think he's a good head coach, but he is a very good defensive coordinator. There's no way that Goddard's going to get the kind of game that he had last week, so... I don't know who Jalen's going to throw it to on Sunday if they're not healthy at the wide receiver position. So right now, because of injuries, I'm scared for the Eagles' offense.
What do you think about the marriage between that offensive line and Saquon Barkley?
Pretty good so far. And shoot, they lose two guys right in the middle of the game. I tried to tell Eagle fans, because I'm a Jet guy too, Mekhi Becton, I know he's looking good, but at some point he's going to get hurt. I said first 4 weeks of the season, he got hurt in week number three. That's what always happens with Mekhi Becton. But they pushed Steen in there, and he played phenomenally. Fred Johnson, usually they lose Lane Johnson, and you can chalk up a loss because their record without him has been abysmal since he became the Eagles' starting right tackle. Well, Fred Johnson went in there and got the job done. So the offensive line has been good since day one. They've opened up holes for Barkley. He's got the good combination of both speed and strength. He's not afraid to drop a shoulder and get extra yards. I think that marriage has worked out as well as could be expected for the first three games.
Right. But to me, part of looking what a team can be is I look at the division, and I always felt like the New England Patriots, when Brady and Belichick were together, for the most part, you could count on them being 5-1 within the division, which meant they had to maybe find anywhere from 5 to 7 wins to get themselves a one seed elsewhere. When you look at this division, what do you see the possibilities are for the Eagles based on how the early division has played out?
I picked the Eagles to win the division due in large part to the fact that I didn't like the rest of the division. I think the Cowboys were overrated, and I didn't think they were going to be able to come back at the same level they were at last year. They haven't through the first two games. I know the Giants got a good win last week. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones wasn't terrible, which is a step up for Daniel Jones, but I'm just not a fan of the Giants. And while I was impressed with the Commanders' win, you beat Cincinnati, who, yes, started 0-2, but I thought that was more matchup-based. Now they're 0-3. You got to admit, maybe this team isn't as good as I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. I like their young quarterback. I pumped him for the Heisman before he got it last year. He had this unbelievable season at LSU and played himself into second pick in the draft. I think he's got a chance to be good. He had a phenomenal game against Cincinnati the other day, and people are putting him on a pedestal, which I'm not sure that he's earned just yet. Eagles are the best team in this division almost by default.
Yes.
I don't love the rest of the division, and I think it will continue to play that way.
Right. See, I think they can go 5-1 in the division. And to me, that when you have a schedule that puts you at a 5-1 spot, that changes the dynamics of what you need to get where you want to go. And I think they've got that with this division along the way. I mean, I know you've glanced at the Cowboys, maybe even more than glanced. What do you think of that outfit?
Jerry Jones did probably as bad a job as an owner could do this past off season. And I know he got everybody signed. It came right down to the wire. He overpaid for Dak Prescott. I guarantee you next year Dak Prescott's contract is going to look like an albatross. I'm a CD Lamb fan, but does he deserve to be on the same parallel with Justin Jefferson? I don't think so. So not only did he disrupt his entire preparation for his team by not getting those deals done, but he then got them done at overpaid numbers. So I think right now the Cowboys are in a bad spot. If they end up winning this division, first team to win a division back-to-back years for a decade and a half, I will be shocked. I do not think the Cowboys are an 11 or 12 win team.
We've talked about, you know, cover two and what cover two has done to the NFL in scoring. But there's also something that I don't think he's ever talked about, and that's, you know, look, I think the quarterbacks, for the most part, there's a step back. That doesn't help. I think offensive lines are great. That's a step back in terms of attacking this. But the safeties are going to be pretty good to play this. When you look at the safeties in this league, actually, how good are they because of their playing cover two?
Well, they better be good at coverage.
Yeah.
There is, you're right, as much coverage too is being played in the NFL. They're trying to take the deep pass away. They're letting people dump the ball underneath the deep coverage. Then you got to be able to tackle, and every once in a while you got to be able to go up and play man to man on a tight end. You got to get safeties up there that can take away that. And on a third and four, you're going to let them complete it for a 6-yard play. All right, move the chains. You got yourself a first down. So I think the emphasis is turned to safeties being coverage guys as well. They can't just be hitters who jump up into the box and give extra help on the run. You got to be able to cover. You can't just sit them back there and say, on the pass plays, just keep it in front of you. Don't worry about it. I think that the best safeties are the ones that can be versatile and both get up and play the run, but also when in single coverage, be able to cover the good pass-catching tight ends in the league.
Right now, the Phillies are one game in the loss column behind the Dodgers for the best record in baseball. When you look at their positioning going into the playoff, positioning meaning how the rotation is set up and so forth, what kind of spot do you think they're in?
A good spot. I really do. I think that they can very easily be favored to win the National League. Yeah, these last four games, knew they were going to take a pass last night after the celebration of winning the division, and they got their rumps handed to them by the Cubs. Now they got to win these last four games, starting with Sanchez today, and going down to Washington, who they've had their number all year, and all those players have basically put it away for the rest of the season. Go out and win your last four games. I think that's very possible. It'll get them the number one seed. It'll get them the couple days off, not having to play in a wild card. And, yes, if it comes down to a matchup between the Dodgers, I'd rather see 4 out of 7 in Citizens Bank Park than out at Chavez Ravine. And I think that very well could happen.
Yeah, I agree with you completely on that. The last one's a little bit out of the ballpark a little bit, but we all know the Sixers have been talking about building the arena downtown as opposed to where they are now in the complex. What's been your viewpoint on that possibility?
They're a tenant, and that's why they want to get out, and they have the capability of being able to build their own building, which is certainly within their rights and could be new and exciting. As a Philly guy, I just think it's going to be a nightmare getting in and out of that place. Unless they're, and they got the blessing of the mayor this week, and if she can hold up, if they can get construction done while she's still a mayor, and they can improve the mass transit, then I guess it could be okay. But I think it's going to be a traffic nightmare where they're planning on putting it. It is cool to be in the city, and I get that. And a lot of fans enjoy that greatly, and because I do the national show, so I get to talk to a lot of fans that go into the city for their team's games. Philly's a little different. That's a tough traffic spot. I've been going on the Vine Street Expressway my entire life. I think it could be a traffic nightmare for Sixer games. So we'll see. They're going to do it, and we're going to have to learn to deal with it. It looks like it's going to get done, but I don't know how easy it is to get the Sixer games if they do move in to Center City.
So on the Vine Street Expressway, you've driven it repeatedly and you've survived. I just want to say congratulations. That is quite an accomplishment.
I'm not sure that AC/DC penned Highway to Hell after getting off the Vine Street Expressway, but I would not be surprised if that were the case.
And on that note, mic drop, Jody Mack. All right. My friend, thank you so much.
Stevie, anytime you need me, brother, just ask.
You're the best. He is the best. Jody McDonald, Jody Mack. In this business, it doesn't get better than that guy. And we will come back with more in a moment. This half hour being brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street, and Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury wants to see you and thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.